a real joy to be with you again. It's been a pretty good spell, I guess, since I was here. But we appreciate your prayers and your interest in our effort. We'll be having a little something to say tonight about what we've been engaged in recent months. This morning, I'd like to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. I'm sure the passage we're reading this morning will be quite familiar to everyone, perhaps, but I believe it's one of the most important passages in the Word of God because it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and about God's way of salvation. Luke chapter 15, we're going to read from verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, I found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. This parable has well been called the pearl of parables. And I want you to notice that it's one parable, not three, containing 3 different phases or 3 different narratives, if you will. If you'll notice again in verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, one parable, and then it has 3 different movements to it, 3 narratives that he relates. It's a threefold parable. It emphasizes the gladness of heaven over souls that turn from wickedness and sin to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapters 14, 15, and 16 in Luke's Gospel combine to give a panoramic picture of God's plan of salvation. In chapter 14, we see the Gospel going forth on earth. A great feast is spread, and men are invited to come. And with one consent they began to make excuse and will not come and partake of all that the host had provided. And over that parable, over that chapter, we have to write these words, earth's madness. You know, God has provided a great feast. And He's invited sinners to come and sit down and partake of all of the bounty and the blessing that He offers to the souls of men. And men, because of their wickedness, because they love their sins, will not come. It only emphasizes the madness of earth and refusing the offer of God. In chapter 15, this passage we've read together, you'll notice there's the joy of God in saving souls. And over this chapter, we have to write the words, heaven's gladness. But when you come to chapter 16, we see the torment of a lost soul in hell. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And over chapter 16, you have to write the words, hell's sadness. You know, that just about sums up the experience of man. Earth's madness, heaven's gladness, and hell's sadness. You know, just preceding this parable we read this morning, in chapter 14, the Lord Jesus gives that parable of the great supper. And just immediately following that, He gives two parabolic illustrations, that of the building and that of the battle. He said, what man goes out and starts to build a building without first sitting down, see whether he can complete it, whether he has enough funds to finish the job? Or what king goeth to war without first evaluating the strength of his own armies and evaluating the strength of the armies that he's going to be in conflict with? And those two parabolic illustrations emphasize the severity of the terms of the discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the Scripture does it ever say it'll be easy to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to become a Christian, but it costs you everything to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a price tag attached to that. And you'll notice the very closing words in chapter 14. It says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then continuing the narrative, Luke tells us of two groups of people in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15. He speaks about the publicans and the sinners and the Pharisees and the scribes. You know, the publicans and the sinners were a group that were strongly attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. They realized the emptiness of their life, the void in their heart. And they were always drawn to the person of God's Son. You read that over and over again in the New Testament. But in contrast to them, there were the Pharisees and the scribes. And they murmured. They were the self-righteous people, the hypocrites of the day. And I believe this threefold parable we read together was called forth by the comments of the Pharisees and the scribes. We read in verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. And having said that, the Lord Jesus then gave this threefold parable to those of his hearers on that occasion. I'd like this morning to look at this threefold parable and just more or less make a survey and a comparison of the three different phases of this parable. You'll notice that each movement of the parable is concerned with lost things. In the first part, it's a lost sheep. In the second part, it's a lost piece of silver. And in the third part, it's a lost son. In each phase, the issue is joy. When the lost sheep was found, there was joy. When the lost silver was found, there was joy. And when the lost son came back home, there was joy. The burden of the whole parable is joy. But again, I think we ought to remember that God is pictured in this threefold parable in three distinct ways. God desires that we should see something of the plenitude of the glory and the work of our God. In the first part of the parable, that having to do with the sheep, you'll notice the emphasis is on the Son. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ as the shepherd, seeking the lost sinner. The shepherd went out seeking for the sinner. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the second part, that having to do with the silver, under the figure of a woman, you have the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit of God seeking out, searching for souls. The search was made by the woman for the silver. In the third part, we have the father welcoming that repentant son back home again. In the first part, you see the son suffering. But going out after that lost sheep entailed suffering on the part of the shepherd. The poet has penned those words, "None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found the sheep that was lost." It involves the suffering of the Son of God. The second part, that of the lost piece of silver, you see the Spirit seeking through the ministry of the church. And in the third part, after that son came back home, you see the father singing. Not crying, not moaning, but singing, because this my son was dead and is alive again. You know, the first part of that parable emphasizes the work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The second part emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit of God working in and through the church, seeking lost souls, seeking to bring them back to the Lord Jesus Christ. The third part has to do with the satisfier. For only the Father, known in redemption, can satisfy the longing of the sin-sick soul. You know, the sinner is pictured, I believe, in this parable as well, in a threefold way. Not only does God want us to see something of the plenitude of the Godhead, but God wants us to see ourselves as He sees us. You know, that's the most difficult thing for people to get a hold of. We look at ourselves as maybe others might look at us, or others might, we hope they look at us, but we don't want to look at ourselves as God looks at us. But here in this parable, you'll see the sinner is pictured in a threefold way. First of all, he's pictured as a sheep, a lost sheep. Then he's pictured as a lost piece of silver, and then in the third part, as a lost son. First of all, as a silly sheep that wandered away from the flock and from the fold. The second, a soiled piece of silver, lost in all the rubble and rubbish of the house. And lastly, a self-willed son that said, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I want my part of the inheritance right now." You know, that's a familiar story today, isn't it? When young people get grown, right now, they want it all right now. They're not willing to wait a minute for it. They want everything right now. And they're living in the wrong world because they don't get nothing right now like that, except bills that come regular. And the income tax, that's always right now. But they're living in the wrong world. You know, in that part having to do with the sheep was in the distance. For the shepherd left those 99 not safely in the fold, but he left them in the wilderness. And he went out to get that one that had wandered away. The silver was in the dust. And the son was in disgrace in the far country, down in the pigsty, sharing a meal with the pig. You know, that sheep was lost to safety. There was no safety out wandering over the hills. That piece of silver was lost to service, because as long as it was lost, it could not be used. It had absolutely no purchasing power. It could produce nothing. And that son was lost the place of sonship. He had lost the position that he should have because of his self-will, because of his sinfulness and his waywardness. You know, the sheep speaks to us about being lost out in the world, out on the hills and in the wilds of the world, not looking for salvation. Well, could the Lord Jesus say prophetically, "I was found of them that sought me not"? I suppose all of us here this morning who are Christians could say in all honesty, "I never was seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. But even when I was going the other way, trying to satisfy every longing of the body, every impulse within, the Lord Jesus arrested me in the way and drew me by cords of love to Himself." It speaks about the sinner being lost out in the world. You'll have noticed in as far as a piece of silver was concerned, it was lost, not out in the world, but it was lost in the house. And that would suggest to us those sinners who are lost in the professing church. There are a lot of sinners today that are lost, and yet they take the name of Christ upon their lips. They'd not be found anywhere else on the Lord's Day morning except in a church. They'd tell you right readily that they had joined the church, they were members of the church, and yet in reality, there's never been a real work of grace in the heart. They've never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's possible to be lost in the professing church. The Lord Jesus could say, "Not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And his will is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there was that son that speaks of a man being lost in the home. Oh, he said, "Well, I thought he was in the far country." Well, he was. But before he went to the far country, he was in the home. And his feet only took him where his heart had been all the time. Don't ever forget that. Even when he was in the Father's house, his heart was in the far country. Have you ever done anything you know and you say, "Well, my heart's just not in it"? It's because it's somewhere else. If your wife wants you to go out and pick beans in the garden and it's 100 degrees, you say, "Well, my heart's just not in it." Well, she's not concerned about that. She just wants you to get your body in it and pick the beans. You know, that's the same way this son was. Even before he left home, his heart was in the far country. His feet only took him where his heart was already. And that speaks to us of one being lost in the home. You know, in this parable, we see three aspects of the attitude of God toward sinners. That first part, having to deal with the lost sheep and the shepherd, shows us the love of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give His life a ransom for many. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God looked down from the battlements of glory, and He saw poor, wretched, helpless, hell-deserving, hell-bound sinners just like you and me. And he said, "Oh, in spite of their sins, I love them. I like that. There's not a thing about me that's lovable. But God looked at me as a wretched sinner. And He said, I'm going to send my son to die for that poor sheep." You know, the first part speaks to us about God's love. He was willing to part with His son for a season in order that he might go out to Calvary. And there, all the anguish and horrors that overwhelmed his soul, suffer and bleed and die under the penalty of sin in order that poor sinners like you and me could be saved. Oh, what love God had for us. I don't understand it, but thank God I believe it. I've entered into the benefit and the blessing of it, but God loves me. But the second part speaks to us about God's loss. You know, God created man in His own image. And He had a purpose for that. But because of self-will, man would not walk in the paths of righteousness. He turned his back upon God. He done his own thing, so to speak. And as a result of that, God suffered a loss. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to praise His name forever. But how many people in this vast land in which we are living in today are they whose lives are all given over to the glory of God? And God suffered a loss. You know, that piece of silver in the dust was a loss. It had no purchasing power at all. And the sinner, lost in all the dust and rubble of the world, lost in the professing church, has absolutely no use at all to God. But the third part speaks about God's long suffering. The son took his father's living, he left home, he went into the far country, and he wasted his substance with riotous or hilarious living. He spent it all. And in the whole of it all, his father never stopped loving him. God is an infinite God, a long-suffering God. How many times did God speak to many of us who were sinners about our sin and our need, and we said nay to God? And yet he loved us all the more, and he kept on, and he kept on. And he burdened the heart of this one to come and speak to us, and he brought us under the sound of the Word of God and all the long-suffering of God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, in reading the Bible, we're impressed with a progressive teaching from Adam right down to this present time. You know, from Adam to Moses, man was lost as a sinner. He acted in self-will. He made his own way. That was the sin of Adam. He looked at that fruit in the garden. It was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. And he took it and he ate it. God says, don't do that. He acted independently of God in self-will, in self-determination. And as a result, man was a sinner. He had sinned against God. Then when Moses came on the scene and God gave the law to man, from Moses to Christ, man was lost as a transgressor. God said, now here's the moral laws that you're to live by. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt do this. And man did not do that. They deliberately transgressed the known laws of God, disobeyed them. And then the Lord Jesus came. And he went out to Calvary and he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. And God said to sinners, now you can be saved if you just only receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And what did man do? We'll not have this man to reign over us. And from the Lord Jesus Christ right up to this present day, in this day of grace, man is an enemy of God. There's a deliberate rejection of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man is a sinner. Man is lost as a transgressor. And man is a lost as an enemy of God. And because of that, man's need is threefold. Because we are a sinner, there needs to be propitiation. There needs to be a satisfaction Godward. And the Word of God says the Lord Jesus is a propitiation for our sins as a sinner. Because we are lost as transgressors, deliberately disobeying the known laws and will of God, there needs to be justification. And God said we're justified by faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are enemies of God, at a distance or far off from God, there needs to be reconciliation. God has made reconciliation through the sacrifice and the suffering of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, had God not became the seeker in grace, man's case would have been absolutely hopeless. Way back in the Garden of Eden, at the very entrance of sin, when Adam disobeyed God, sin entered into the world, God became the seeker. He looked down at Adam and he said, Adam, where are you? He had gone and hid because of his shame, because of his sin, because of his guilt. And man's sin was the cause for the Lord Jesus Christ coming and dying for sin. You know, in this parable we've read this morning, I think we have some of the truths of the Word of God emphasized. As a sheep, man went astray from birth. You know, a sheep knows how to go astray, but it doesn't have sense enough to find his way back home again. And the Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. In our self-will, in our self-determination, we turn our own way. And God has laid upon the Lord Jesus the iniquity of us all. And as a sheep, we're lost to safety. We are in danger of the eternal burning because we've turned away from God. As a piece of silver, man is dead. You know, the sheep is too foolish to get back. The silver is unable to get back. It's an inanimate object. You know, if you lose a piece of money and you don't find it, boy, you're just out of it. It won't crawl back up your and get back in your pocket or in your purse. It just doesn't do that somehow or another. So if you lose a piece of silver, it's gone. The sheep's too foolish to get back. The silver is unable to get back. And so it is with the sinner. We're dead in trespasses and in sins. You know, a lost piece of silver is absolutely no use. I've never spent a cent of money in my life that I've lost beforehand. If you ever find out how to do that, let me know. I've lost a few coins along the way and come up a little bit short, and I thought, my, somebody likes taking my money. Has that ever happened to you? Well, you sure don't go out and spend that money that you can't find. And a lost piece of silver is of no use. And a sinner away from God is of no use to God. And as a son, man is not a victim of sin. Sometimes they'd like for you to think that. They say, well, I had nothing to do with the nature I've got. If Adam and Eve hadn't been so irresponsible in the garden, I wouldn't have an old sinful nature. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just a victim of circumstances. But as a son, man's not a victim of sin, but he's a criminal. For God says you don't have to be lost because Christ died for you. You say, well, I'm not just trusting. And you're a criminal. You know, man in self-will goes away deliberately, astray deliberately. He knows enough to go astray, but he doesn't have sense enough to come back or perish. And I think our responsibility is seen right there. You have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God preaches repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice in summation of this parable, you know, the shepherd seeks, the Spirit pleads, and the Father that receives the penitent soul back home. You know, that shepherd went after his sheep. And that woman sought after that piece of silver. But the father did not come after the prodigal son. He waited for him to turn and come back home. I think that's important. The Lord Jesus came down from glory. He left his home on high. He came into this world. He walked over the sands of time. He did those things that brought glory to God. He revealed to man the heart of God, and he went out to the cross to show his love for sinners. And this woman that speaks to us about the Holy Spirit of God operating through the church, you know, since the day of Pentecost and the Spirit of God has came down into this world, the Holy Spirit of God works in the hearts and lives of believers and in the church to go out and win the lost to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the Father is our God, who never came to earth, but waits up there in glory to receive that penitent soul back home. You know, the shepherd and the woman speak of the sovereignty of God that sent the Lord Jesus to die, that brought the Spirit of God into the world to convict men of sin and righteousness and of judgment. But the Father tells us of man's responsibility to turn from their wicked ways and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You know, you may be lost, but it's going to be your fault and nobody else's. God loves sinners. He gave His Son to die for them. And the Spirit of God pleads with the souls of men to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and be saved. And up yonder in the glory, our Father just waits. And all the angelic beings, they're just waiting. And the moment you're willing to turn from your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, all the courts of heaven will begin to rejoice. The Father waits for you to make that decision. You know, you'll have to choose. You know, when a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, It's a definite, deliberate, conscious act of the will. Suppose you are going to get married. If you're not, maybe you've got hope. And so you come to get married in the church, and here's the groom, and here's the bride, and he says, well, now, will you take this young man to be your lawful wedded husband? And she says, I sure will. She says, you just don't know how tired I've got running after him. She won't say that, but probably she'll think it. And you'll turn to that young man and say, will you take this sweet young thing to be your lawful wedded wife? And she'll say, well, I've been thinking about it, my dear. I intend to one of these days. She can stand there from now to doomsday, and she'll never get married. It's got to be a definite, deliberate, conscious act of the will. You'll say, well, I will. You know, if you're going to get saved, it's that way. The Lord Jesus came into the world to reveal the heart of God and to go out to Calvary and die for sinners. The Spirit of God came into the world to convict man of sin and righteousness and judgment. But God, our Father, wakes up yonder for sinners to turn from their wicked ways. You'll notice in this threefold parable that in each case, there's only one saved. That having to do with the sheep, there's one out of 100. No matter what the hymn writer has said, the scripture says that those 99 were left in the wilderness. They weren't left safe in the fold. Now, I like the song, but it's not biblical at all, nor is it scriptural. The 99 were left in the wilderness. The one was out wandering away. And it was one out of 100 that was saved. When it comes to the silver, there was one out of 10 that was saved. When it comes to the son, there was one out of 2 that was saved. You know, God deals with the one, with individuals. It's not they that believe, but he that believeth shall be saved. You know, God's still dealing with individuals. One here, one there, one somewhere else perhaps, that realizes they're lost and helpless and hell-deserving, that's gone out and tasted all the flavors of life, that's drank at all the broken systems of this world, and they've come away finding out there's nothing out there that can satisfy the longing of the soul. Believe me, I tried. But it ain't there. And the only thing that can satisfy the inner longing of the soul is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can squeeze every little drop of pleasure, of popularity, of fame you can get out of this world. And when you're all through, there's going to be emptiness and a void in the heart, a longing that'll never be satisfied unless you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's impossible. God's still saving souls, and I'm so glad this morning that every individual in this meeting who's willing to take their place before God as a lost, helpless, hell-deserving sinner, say, oh, God, if you gave your son to die for sinners, I'm the sinner he died for, and I'm going to trust him as my Savior today. I'm going to receive him as my own personal Savior. You know, the moment you're willing to do that, God's Word says you'll be saved for all eternity. Oh, you say, are you sure he'll receive me? You don't know about what the depths of sin I've been into. You don't know all those secret sins of the heart. You don't know those wicked, evil thoughts I've had. You don't know anything at all about it. But God knows. And what did we read in this passage? This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He'll receive you if you'll receive him. You know, we read in the Word of God, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, God's work is saving sinners, and he wants to save you this morning. If you're in the meeting and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I know exactly what kind of heart you've got. You've got a heart that's empty. There's nothing there but a great void. Or you go out and you try to satisfy yourself with the pleasures of this life, with the sins of this life, with all the fame and the varied and sundry activities around about. But I know, and you know, when it's all through, there's an emptiness and a longing right here. And you know why? It's because you know Christ is your Savior. Won't you trust Him this morning? This man receiveth sinners and he eats with them. And he'll receive you. He'll cast none out, but you'll only trust Him today as your Savior. God help you to do that. Shall we just bow in prayer? Our Father, we thank Thee this morning for everyone who's here. We thank Thee for each one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.